Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1336, Conversations with Monty. This is conversation number 10. This is being recorded on the 13th of July of 2024. And once again, it is my great pleasure and my privilege and frankly my honor to present Monty, my new co-host. And he is delineating the links between things that for most of us appear completely disparate, if they appear at all. And you know, Monty, I'm going to say, I'm going to pat myself on the back just a little bit. For years now, I've been saying that Joe Biden is something, he's brain damaged. He is not clicking on all eight cylinders. And I've collected a lot of fresh fertilizer because of that over the years. And now, That's front and center. And, you know, we now have two, presumptive presidential candidates, neither of whom can finish a sentence. Biden because he's brain damaged and Trump because he's psychotic. And this is really going to be, fun. I mean, there's going to come a time where people are going to want AIs to be running things because again, With what is being thrown up by the political milieu, it makes one want to throw up. But anyway, on October 22nd of 2021, Biden said that he agreed with the intelligence community's assessment that full disclosure of all the JFK assassination related documents at this point in time would shed undue light on various things. And as you have presented these various conduits between individuals and institutions that most people think of as being completely separate and certainly very separate from the assassination of JFK, and yet they are not. So with that introduction, Monty, why don't you continue to connect the dots and fill in the blanks for us?
Of course. So in tracking the DRE's operations, which were, you know, as I demonstrated earlier, completely funded by Gloria Steinem's operations, penetrating the World Federation of Democratic Youth, the International Union of Students, and of course, their affiliates that attended the 8th World Festival of Youth and Students in Helsinki, Finland of 1962. I should note that this particular element of the DRE that was infiltrated into Helsinki, along with several hundred members of Gloria Steinem's International Union of Students organization, had a very peculiar and revealing sponsor, and revealing in the sense that when President Biden, back in October 22nd of 2021, stated quite unequivocally that we ought not to reveal technical data pertaining to the assassination of President Kennedy, because it may, in fact, I believe a direct quote here was, identifiable harm to military defense, intelligence operations, law enforcement, or the conduct of foreign relations. And I implied in the previous program that this had something to do with current Ukrainian ratline operations, meaning the infiltration of intelligence agents behind enemy lines. What exactly did I mean by that? And what do I mean by the peculiar relationship that the DRE and in turn Gloria Steinem of all people had with the state-sponsored terrorist activities of against the Cuban delegates, meaning the pro-Castro Cuban delegates at the 8th World Youth Festival, reading again, the 8th World Festival of Youth and Students in Helsinki. Well, what exactly do I am I implying there? Well, in researching this over the years, and I've been looking at the this seemingly untangleable knot, this Gordian knot, as it were, of the DRE's operations in Helsinki, I stumbled across a CIA cryptonym. And I should note that I had the help of the attorney for the Mary Farrell Foundation. He was helping me learn over the past about 6 years now, trying to teach me the language of CIA cryptonyms. That is their code name prefixes for their computer telemetry programs back in the 1950s and 60s. And that man's name is Bill Simpich. So full credit to Bill Simpich, the attorney for the Mary Farrell Foundation, for turning me on to the language of the CIA's cryptonym activities. And this particular cryptonym or code name prefix related to DRE documents in Helsinki is called ZR Penny, all capital letters. And I'll spell that out. That's ZR capital P, the word penny. So ZR Penny, Penny. And apparently, by all accounts, the ZR Penny program was and this is a direct quote from CIA documents, quote, a substantial financial undertaking to challenge the left at the 8th World Festival of Youth and Students. The Cuban student groups were specifically targeted, including their efforts to generate defectors. Okay. Now, I'd like to, clarify the type of operation that the CIA was conducting before I get into the gist of who exactly was controlling the ZR Penny program, meaning the financial conduit to fund the DRE's state-sponsored operations or state-sponsored terrorist operations, excuse me, in Helsinki in 1962. Quoting from a CIA memoranda, once again, this is a NARA number. So this is a National Archives Records Administration, record number 104-10310-10192. And there will be a link to this particular document inside of the Spitfire list description of this program. So you should be able to reference listeners. And this is dated 2 September 1959. And this is a CIA memoranda to the chiefs of Africa, Eastern Europe, the Far East, Near East, Soviet Russia, Western Europe, and the Western Hemisphere Division. So this is a memorandum that went out to every single CIA chief on a global level, and it's called Operations Against Soviet Targets. And this memoranda was, in fact, written by Richard M. Bissell Jr., who at that time was the chief of covert action, the commander of the Office of Special Operations in the CIA, and the liaison to Frank Wisner's Office of Policy Coordination within the State Department. Okay. So Richard Bissell was in fact the number three man at the CIA in 1959 when this document was written.
And Richard Bissell, yes, also along with Charles Cabell, was dismissed, were dismissed by John F. Kennedy, along with Alan Dulles, for lying to him about the Bay of Pigs. Go ahead, Monty.
Correct. And you know, for veteran listeners of this program and people that have researched the Kennedy assassination, General Charles Cabell, the deputy director of the CIA, was older brother to the mayor of Dallas, Texas in 1962, Earl Cabell.
who himself was a CIA asset.
Correct, a full-fledged CIA agent, not just an asset, an agent of the agency.
Oh, okay, very good, very good. And you know, these networks operate to this day. I talked about Robert Mueller, the very special prosecutor indeed, who I guess his most recent effort was in the Russiagate propaganda. But he is the grandnephew of Richard Bissell, and he's married to Ann Cabell Standish, the granddaughter of General Charles P. Cabell. So,
talk about keeping it in the family.
yeah, and when you hear about the deep state, people go, oh, there we go, you know. Well, there's a reason why people use that terminology. Go ahead, Monty.
Well, on that note, I just want to say this much. That term, which was coined by Professor Peter Dale Scott well over 35 years ago, is a bit of a misnomer. We're looking at the state, This is the state of affairs. This is the functionality of our government. There's nothing deep about it. This is the surface, warts and all, you know, and herpes sores. Continuing. Continuing with this CIA memoranda written by Richard Bissell, and I will quote it in its entirety if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
The effort of the clandestine services against the Soviet targets will be increased and expanded. The demands, a coordinated clandestine attack by all operating elements of the covert staff, which have operational opportunities. The Soviet-Russian division will continue to serve as the focal point for activities against the USSR by conducting certain types of operations, by providing support and guidance to other operating divisions, by maintaining a central repository of information, special skills and experience in this field of Soviet operations, and by developing and maintaining highly trained and qualified operations officers whose efforts are devoted entirely to Soviet operations. Point number two. In order to clarify the relationships between Soviet Russia and other operating divisions of CIA to conduct the Soviet operations at headquarters, meaning Langley, two broad categories of operational activities will be recognized. Category A, quote, operations designed to monitor the activities of Soviet official personnel and installations. Codename, Red Cap. That's all capital letters, all one word, REDCAP, Red Cap. And to negate the activities of Russian intelligence representatives and agents stationed in countries under the jurisdiction of operating divisions. These areas are targets of clandestine operations in the Soviet Union. These protection, reading again, the protection of U.S. interests in these areas, as well as the interests of friendly countries with whose services we have liaison, is of great importance and requires a specialized knowledge and accumulated experience possessed by the operating divisions having jurisdiction over the areas involved. I should note, as an editorial, one of the largest Red Cap operations has been talked about extensively over the past 40 years in Dave Emery's Anti-Fascist Archives program and his For the Record program, and that is an organization called the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. Okay.
Yes, indeed, and that was originally called the Committee of Subjugated Nations when it was assembled by Adolf Hitler in 1943. And then it became a major element of U.S. intelligence and Cold War policy, changing none of its character from its minting by Adolf Hitler in 1943.
As an editorial, I should correct you, Dave, and I apologize for this correction. Adolf Hitler was not the man that oversaw the creation of the subjugated nations. It was the commander of the Ostministerium, Alfred Rosenberg, who in fact was, before the Nazi Party was even an entity, the vice president of an organization called the Reconstruction Committee, or Aufbau. Who were in fact overseen by the chief of security for the Tsar. So in effect, Alfred Rosenberg was a white Russian fascist. And as the commander of the Ostministerium, he's the one that in fact oversaw the creation of the Committee for Subjugated Nations, later the CIA's Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, which was the premier Red Cap operation, meaning the clandestine service of the CIA behind enemy lines in the Soviet Union. Continuing with this document, point number B, this is Richard Bissell once again speaking, quote, operations directed against the Soviet, reading again, operations directed against the USSR proper, whether our own liaison assets are involved, requiring the specialized knowledge and operational experience accumulated by the Soviet Russian division. Included in this category are illegal operations. I'll read that again. This is the third in command of the CIA in 1959, Richard Bissell. These are his own words. Reading again. Included in this category are illegal operations mounted into the USSR Red Soc counterintelligence operations to place or recruit sources inside the USSR legal travel operations into the USSR using nationals of third countries or U.S. citizens, and operations based on the use of Soviets traveling legally from the USSR into the, quote, free world, end quote. Now, why is that Red Sox designator? Once again, this is a CIA cryptonym, all capital letters, REDSOX, Red Sox. Why is that designator so important? Well, when Mr. Lee Harvey Oswald entered the Soviet Union in 1959, through Helsinki, of all places, he was in fact moving through a legal traveler's aid operation completely controlled by the CIA's Soviet Russian staff. It was a Red Sox operation. I should also note that when he was moving through Helsinki, one of the people that she was in contact with was, in fact, a spotter candidate for the CIA's aforementioned Redskin operation. Bear in mind, Richard Bissell identifies in his own dossier, this is a third in command of the CIA, Richard Bissell identifies in his own dossier Redskin operations as having an operational scope, meaning that they were covert operations, okay? These weren't psychological warfare ops. These were not psy warfare ops in the effect that they were innocuous. No, these had paramilitary purposes, Redskin operations.
And now, is this Red Sox or Redskin? I'm confused.
This is Redskin. It should be noted that Lee Harvey Oswald, Mr. Oswald, when he enters the Soviet Union via Helsinki in 1959, he runs into a North American Newspaper Alliance reporter by the name of Priscilla Johnson McMillan. According to Priscilla Johnson McMillan's own documents, her own CIA documents, she is a spotter candidate for the Red Skin paramilitary operations of the CIA set up by Richard Bissell. Meaning that when this North American Newspaper Alliance reporter, Priscilla Johnson McMillan, made contact with Lee Harvey Oswald, she was a spotter for the CIA's paramilitary apparatus, Redskin, in the Soviet Union in 1959.
And Priscilla Johnson eventually married someone, I've forgotten his first name, named McMillan. The McMillan Publishers is that family. And later, Priscilla Johnson McMillan wrote a sanitized account of Marina and Lee, called Marina and Lee, in which basically the official cover story of Lee Harvey Oswald and Marina Oswald is maintained with a straight face, I'll add to that.
Right. Now, so bear that in mind that, you know, as she's writing this highly sanitized account of Mr. Oswald's private life with Marina Oswald, his wife, you know, Priscilla Johnson McMillan is in fact a full-fledged CIA paramilitary warfare officer. She is a stay-behind ratline agent.
And again, this is against the background of that memo from Richard Bissell talking about the operations against the former Soviet Union.
Correct. So pivoting back to the DRE's operations and what we've what we talked about in the previous program concerning the DRE conducting, once again, ratline operations, paramilitary operations against the Soviet Union, not to mention the exfiltration of raw technical data concerning the Soviets' ICBMs in Cuba in 1962, of which Mr. Lee Harvey Oswald is in fact working for a photographic telemetry company, Jagerchow-Stovel, which is producing maps of those very same ICBMs. I'd like to pivot back to the funding conduit of how the DRE officials are getting into Helsinki just a few years later. with the help of all people, Gloria Steinem, infiltrating the Eighth World Festival of Youth and Students. And this was a conduit called ZR Penny. I referenced it earlier. And if I may, Dave, I'm going to quote directly from a CIA document talking about what exactly ZR Penny is and who is behind it.
Go ahead, fill in Penny Lane for us.
Right. So I'm quoting directly from a CIA document. Once again, this will be inside a description at Spitfire List for this program. This is CIA document 104-10215-10077. Reading again, that's document 104-10215-10077. That is the National Archives Records Administration number for this file. This is from 25 July 1962 from the CIA's paramilitary and propaganda staff. So this is in fact from George Ioannidis, to the director of the CIA, who at that time was John McCone. All right. Alan Dulles, as Dave Emery pointed out earlier, had been fired at this point. And John McCone, who I believe was a former administrator for the Atomic Energy Commission of all things, is the director of the CIA in this time period. This is an action report from Task Force W. At that time, the commander of Task Force W was the former chief of electronic warfare for the Berlin operating base, William King Harvey. And this is information regarding DDP operations and Soviet Russian Staff 6. So that's Finland. And it also includes Western Hemisphere number 4 documents, which, of course, Western Hemisphere number 4 is Cuba. So this was cross-designated for Richard Helms, who at that time is the commander of the CIA's covert action staff. Western Hemisphere number 4, which at that time was overseen, incidentally enough, by Richard Helms. He was wearing two hats, a man of many talents. And Soviet Russian Staff number 6, which unfortunately, I do not know the name of that commander. But this is a priority message, and I'll read it in its entirety. Quote, Gyros, BG Actress, ZR Penny. Those are CIA cryptonyms referencing G.Y. Rose is a reference to CIA publications. BG Actress is Chinese intelligence activities. And then ZR Penny is anti-Castro Cuban funding conduit for the DRE affiliates. Reading from this document, quote, reference, wave. We now have the names and birth dates of 300 Cuban festival delegates who applied for Finnish visas. Cuban delegation of 425, estimated time of arrival, 27 July. Point number two. We view the large volume, and if headquarters needs list soonest request by HQ, cable, Washington address, which list can be mailed. If no reply by 26 July, we will vouch priority. End of message. Comment. We provide names of Cuban participants to the World Youth Festival. End quote. So essentially what this document is stating, listening audience and Dave, is that the commanders of all Task Force W, that was anti-Castro Cuban operations for the CIA, which was a sister liaison staff to Operation Mongoose, run by Robert Kennedy and Special Group Augmented, and the CIA staff run by Richard Helms, which was the Cuban staff, and of course the Soviet Russian staff in Finland, have the identities and are sponsoring 425 anti-Castro Cuban delegates through this conduit, this ZR Penny conduit. Now, to the bulk of what ZR Penny represents and who is behind it, I want to turn the audience's attention to something called the Prologue Research Corporation, PRC, because that is the CIA commercial cover property that represents the financial conduit, ZR Penny, that is in fact funding the DRE delegates that were sent into the Soviet Union by the CIA through Gloria Steinem's International Union of Students. Man, that was a mouthful.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So, what exactly was the Prologue Research Corporation? Okay. So I'm reading from, once again, this will be in the full description at Spitfire List. This is a CIA document dated, let's see when this is dated, Okay, so this is actually from much later from the than the time period that we're referencing here. This is from 1978, okay, and this is a CIA document, codenamed QR Plum, okay, Volume 2, Document Number 2. Read it again. That's all one word: QR PLUMB QR Plum Volume 2, Document 2, and I'll read it in its entirety. PB Dynamic Evolution. Summary. Since 1949, CIA has supported ZPUHVR. And I won't pretend to know how to pronounce that in English. So I'll just, or excuse me, in Ukrainian. So I'll just read it in English. It's, Ukrainian Supreme Liberation Council, a 26-member political advisory council of senior Ukrainian emigre, quote, intellectuals. The CIA helped to establish in New York City the Prologue Research and Publishing Corporation, now the Prologue Research Corporation, in 1953 as the Ukrainian Supreme Liberation Council's publishing and research arm. Prologue, through an affiliate in Munich, publishes periodicals and selected books and pamphlets which seek to exploit and increase nationalist and other dissident tendencies in the Soviet Ukraine. During the early years of its association with the CIA, ZPUHVR, once again, that's the Ukrainian Supreme Liberation Council, reestablished communications with resistance, and I put that in air quotes, resistance forces in the Ukraine. From 1954, most of the organized internal opposition to the Soviet rule has been suppressed. ZPUHVR operational activities have concentrated on propaganda and contact operations. Now that last bit right there, and I should just say end quote, that last bit right there is very revealing, because that means that the Prologue organization isn't just a publishing conduit, Mr. Emery. It is in fact a rat line operation that was used to contact stay behind agents who are operating behind enemy lines in the Soviet Union in this time period. Okay. So, as a point of fact, the Prologue Prologue Research Corporation, the PRC, which is the parent publishing company, CIA commercial staff company that publishes all of the information for the Ukrainian Supreme Liberation Council, of whose I should note their parent organization, the Ukrainian Supreme Liberation Council, is Yaroslav Stetsko's Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, which in fact, at that time in 1962, Yaroslav Stetsko was the president of an organization that we referenced earlier, the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, of which in a previous program we noted that the Bulgarian Nationalist Front's vice president under the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, of which Yaroslav Stetsko is the president of in 1962, the vice president of the Bulgarian Nationalist Front was Spas Toptivor Rankin, the exact same man that debriefs Mr. Oswald when he comes back from the Soviet Union. Of all places, Mr. Oswald and his wife left the Soviet Union through Munich. That is documented in CIA documents pertaining to zipper surveillance of Mr. Oswald, okay? I should note that Zipper is the CIA's code name for the Galen organization.
I was going to ask you what that meant. Okay, good. So Zipper is a CIA code name for the Galen org.
Right. So let's backtrack a little bit. The DRE delegates in 1962 managed to infiltrate into Helsinki using the Prologue Research Corporation's funding conduit, ZR Penny, all right? And they exfiltrate out of Helsinki through Germany, of all places. It should be noted that Mr. Oswald also infiltrated into the Soviet Union from Helsinki and exfiltrated through Munich, where he was spied every step of the way. He was surveillanced by Galen organization agents. Am I seeing a parallel here, Mr. Emery, or am I just imagining things?
Nah, you're just another one of those conspiracy theorists I hear so much about. You know, you conspiracy theorists are all over the place. Go ahead. Obviously, I'm being facetious. So go ahead. Obviously, well, not maybe not so obviously, but using the metaphor that I've used before in our two broadcasts here, you are presenting the mirror or the glass pane, which previous to the deliberate intellectual shattering of same, were part of the same configuration, and you're showing us what this actually looks like, as opposed to the fractured image that we are allowed to see by the powers that be.
Right. So it would behoove us to pivot to ultimately what exactly was the funding conduit for Z.R. Penney, which was the funding conduit for the DRE delegates that made their way into Helsinki, Finland in 1962 to conduct state-sponsored terrorist activities against the Eighth World Festival of Youth and Students. Ultimately, who is the financial conduit that is behind the Prologue Research Corporation? Well, in this exact same document, it literally states that the primary holding company, okay, that is funding the OUN Bandera's propaganda apparatus, the Prologue Research Corporation, which is funding the DRE, is an entity called Chemical Bank of New York Trust Company. Okay. And Chemical Bank has a very interesting history because, before 1940, it was located inside of the Continental Bank and Trust, headquarters, where it had, two major clients. And by all accounts, it kept these clients all the way up until the point of time where Prologue Research Corporation is funding the DRE's activities in Helsinki. And these two clients were Brown Brothers Harriman and Company and J.P. Morgan and Company.
And again, the deep politics of that, they ultimately offer up people as, well, seemingly disparate as John J. McCoy and Avril Harriman.
Correct. And to pivot even further, it should be noted to our listening audience, Dave, that Mr. Oswald, he gets sent to Minsk in Belarus, of all places, where he's working inside of a radio factory, right? And I've presented some of this technical data inside of your Patreon program. I believe he was a full-fledged operative of the CIA's international organization staff under something called the Factory Markings Division, which, just to give you a brief description to your audience right now, the Factory Markings Division was an infiltration staff that penetrated Soviet industry and stole documents and blueprints about the technical apparatus of the Soviet war machine. Okay. So, but if I may, why Minsk? Why Belarus? Why Helsinki? Why these particular rat lines? And why would, of all entities, Brown Brother Harriman and Company and J.P. Morgan, through Chemical Bank of New York Trust Company, why would they be so interested if Mr. Oswald is being funded through the same conduits as the DRE?
Oh, by the way, I confused John J. McCoy. He was with Chase Manhattan, not J.P. Morgan, but it's the same crew, basically. Go ahead, Monty.
Right. Why would J.P. Morgan and Brown Brothers Harriman and Company be so interested in all places of Minsk and Belarus? Well, I'd like to turn to a book written by John Loftus, if I may, called The Belarus Secret. And I'm reading from the 2011 edition, which was published by Trine Day, called America's Nazi Secret. And this is on page 16 of formerly The Belarus Secret, now called America's Nazi Secret, if I may, Mr. Emery.
Absolutely. And by the way, John Loftus published that book with Fine Bay specifically to include some material that had been excised by Alfred A. Knopf and Company when they printed the original hardcover edition of The Bolaro Secret in 1982.
So, reading again, once again, this is from Bolaro's Secret, formerly Bolaro's Secret, published as America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus. This is on page 16 of the paperback published by Trine Day in 2011. Reading, quote, "The second major terrorist group that the robber barons hired was the Infant Nazi Party of Germany. Here, the U.S. Justice Department played a critical role. The Attorney General of the United States worked as a bagman for the Dulles brothers, passing out bribes at the Versailles Peace Conference. The terms of the treaty suited only the robber barons. The onerous war reparations had to be paid in gold, which the robber barons would be happy to lend to Germany in return for German corporate stock. The Rockefeller family, J.P. Morgan, and DuPont family all gorged themselves on German investments between the wars. The German currency might have been almost worthless, but the German stock was priceless. By the 1930s, Germany had achieved a near monopoly on high-tech industries, particularly in chemical processes. In fact, the Dusseldorf Patent Conference in 1939 was planned to formalize the robber barons' domination of world markets through patent cartels. Since Germany allowed, indeed encouraged, cartels, it made the robber barons feel quite at home. Hitler and his Nazi party were funded to keep the unions and the communists at bay, just a dog on a leash, or so they thought. His finance minister, Heimar Schalt, had been born in Brooklyn and knew how the game was played on Wall Street. Herbert Walker, George Herbert Walker, grandfather to President George Herbert Walker Bush and great-grandfather to President George W. Bush, brought in Brown Brothers Harriman Investment Firm from Britain to team up with the Harrimans and the Rockefellers. Brown Brothers Harriman had so many corrupt ties to the Nazi regime that it only be that, reading again, Brown Brothers Harriman had so many corrupt ties to the Nazi regime that it became the only bank in New York State history ever to obtain permission to shed its wartime and pre-war files. Reading again, the only bank in New York history ever to obtain permission to shred its wartime and pre-war files.
I was going to say they shred. Yeah, no. So in other words, basically, they got an official green light to deep six all of their relevant documentation.
Correct. Continuing, it certainly had the influence to pull this off. Two of its Nazi investment clients, Nelson Rockefeller and Averill Harriman, had become governors of New York. George Herbert Walker's drunken son-in-law, Prescott Bush, was given a seat on the board of several Nazi front companies and served as director of Union Bank of New York. I should note that Union Bank of New York was a wholly owned subsidiary of Brown Brothers Harriman of Company, of which in 1962 is represented by Chemical Bank of New York Trust Company, which is the funding conduit for the Prologue Research Corporation of the OUN Bandera operations in the United States, which is funding the DRE delegates that made their way into Helsinki in 1962. Continuing, Prescott Bush was given a seat on the board of several Nazi front companies and served as director of Union Bank in New York, which secretly corresponded with sister banks in Amsterdam and Berlin. No matter who won World War II, the ownership of the Thiessen holding companies could be shifted to whatever side really came out on top. It is really not fair to say that any of the robber barons were pro-Nazis, since they actually preferred the conservative monarchists and Catholics to Hitler. Hitler knew that he was disliked, and the first thing he did when he was head of government was to ban foreign ownership of German companies. In response, the robber barons used their influence to pass the Swiss Bank Secrecy Act of 1933. The Wall Street crowd secretly owned the stocks of the Swiss banks, which owned the stocks of the German banks, which owned the stocks of the German companies. Hitler never knew how the Thiessens and Wall Street investors kept their financial control intact, at least not until the war broke out and the Wall Street ties to a third group of terrorists was finally exposed. After the Russian Revolution, it was the Harrimans, staunch Democrats, who secretly bankrolled the Russian minority party, the Bolsheviks, against the majority Meshnevitsk. Despite the fact that American troops were in Russia trying to prop up a pro-democracy Meshkoviks, the Harrimans began to began illegal gold shipments from Lenin to the Bolshevik Party. The Bolsheviks promised a continuing of their former czar's policy of condoning the cartels. Russian raw materials such as magnesium, iron ore, out of Minsk, while the Thesens had access to high-tech steel and chemical processes to turn the raw materials into steel. Okay? A decision was made of the robber barons to fund the German-Russian industrial parks in eastern Poland. The Russian rail gauges were different from the Europeans, so the park had to be close to the Russian border, meaning the mining and industrial sectors out of Minsk, where magnesium and iron ore were coming from for the Nazi war machine. Continuing. But near coal fields, where in order to solve the rail problem, a series of canals were constructed to permit the Russians to barge raw materials across the Vistula River. The Polish province of Silesia was selected as the site for the industrial park because of its access to the Vistula and its proximity to huge coal deposits. The Silesian American Coal Company, once again, I would note that that is a subsidiary of Brown Brothers Harriman Company, which in turn is a subsidiary of Chemical Bank New York Trust Company, which is the main conduit for the Prolog Research Corporation that is funding the DRE in Helsinki. Reading again. The Polish province of Silesia was selected as the site of the industrial park because of its access to the Vistula and the proximity to huge coal deposits. The Silesian American Coal Company was managed by the Harrimans, with Prescott Bush serving on the board. Funding Hitler was a bipartisan event. The future industrial park was planned for the town of Oswiecim, or Auschwitz, as it was called by the Germans. Holocaust scholars have never even suspected that Auschwitz was originally planned as a profit center for Wall Street, but it was, end quote.
Well, it is a fascinating pedigree. And once again, I think the pieces of glass that we have been allowed to perceive coming from either the window pane or the mirror of the unified whole are not indicative of what was actually going on. But when you look at the window or the mirror before it gets deliberately shattered and broken into pieces, it makes only too much sense. And beyond that, it is at one with the dominant forces that control our world today.
Right. So what is to be said of what John Loftus describes in his Belarus Secret, a.k.a. America's Nazi Secret book? Ultimately, what he's describing is that the bulk of the iron ore that was used for the Nazi war machine and the magnesium, the primary purpose for magnesium is an anti-coating for fighter planes and bombers. That's ultimately what the Nazis used it for, as a very lightweight paint for their fighters and bombers, you know, which it gave them far more aerodynamic efficiency in the sky, and also acted as a retardant for anti-icing at higher altitudes. The bulk of the magnesium and the iron ore that is being used by the Nazis, that is being refined by IG Farben-controlled chemical installations in Auschwitz, is coming out of Minsk and Belarus.
And that, of course, is where Lee Harvey Oswald was working in the, quote, radio factory, unquote, which was developing, among other things, over the horizon radar for the Soviet air defenses.
That is correct. We actually have And I presented this in the Patreon program. I would suggest that Dave Emery's listeners to his For the Record program subscribe to his Patreon so you can hear the program where I demonstrate the Factory Markings Division documents that prove that the radio factory that Mr. Oswald had in fact infiltrated into, seemingly through these Belarusian Nazi rat lines controlled by the Prologue organization through Helsinki, wink, wink, was in fact developing over-the-horizon radar technology. And this may be what Mr. Oswald, as a radar technician, was in fact debriefing to Mr. Spaz Rankin. I should note that Spaz Toptivord Rankin, as I presented in a previous program, was a radar technician to the Bulgarian military during the Second World War. So if Mr. Oswald was debriefing anybody, Mr. Rankin would have understood it, yeah?
Well, absolutely. And once again, what is presented to us as two unrelated shards of glass, actually, when they are pieced back into the window or mirror from which they came, they make only too much sense. Oh, and by the way, in the Patreon talks, listeners can also interact with you. So there's another go ahead, Monty. Talking about the Prologue organization and Z.R. Penney.
Right. So I did some further deep diving into the Prologue organization and who exactly was representing it, because I saw this very peculiar cryptonym related to the ZR Penney operation, specifically the DRE rat line. You know, how the DRE anti-Castro Cuban terrorists were being sent into the Soviet, or excuse me, into Helsinki, to terrorize Cuban delegates, under the watchful eye of Gloria Steinem. I want to keep on hammering that last part home. Gloria Steinem is their babysitter in this time period. But who exactly, what was the commander of the ZR Penney rat lines? And in turn, the case officer for the Redwood Redskin operations that are funding the DRE's infiltration exfiltration operations, okay? And I've been able to pinpoint that officer by name, by his actual name, and his CIA cryptonym as of 26 January 1961. Once again, I'm reading from a CIA document. This is from the Aerodynamic Sequence, Volume 2, Document Number 1. And this will also be in the description, written description for Spitfire List, reference to this program. And I'm just going to read it in its entirety. So this is for the Chief of Base Frankfurt. So bear in mind, this is a Galen organization document, okay? So this is for Chief of Base Frankfurt, Redwood, Redskin, Aerodynamic, the performance of AE Castuary 29, okay? That's his code name, and I'll spell that out in its entirety. All capital letters, capital AECASSOWARY-29. AE Castuary 29, okay? That's his code name. And he is identified in CIA documents as being the commander of the ratline operations that the DRE was using for ZR Penney. So in effect, this man is the case officer for the DRE representatives that were infiltrated into Helsinki in 1962. And I'll just read directly from the document, if I may, Mr. Emery.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is AE Castuary 29's document, a debriefing of his performance from the Chief of Base of Frankfurt, which is a Galen organization base, for his Redwood Redskin Aerodynamic Operations dated 26 February 1961. Quote, in response to a request in reference dispatch, we would like to make the following general remarks. AE Castuary 29 has been a Redskin paramilitary operations officer under the control of Soviet Russian staff since September 1960. He has been primarily engaged at the since that time and establishing himself under unofficial cover and creating a small group of spotters within the Ukrainian emigres in Germany. using certain individuals such as AE Castaway 6, who are Nazi collaborators of AE Castaway 29's own organization. In this aspect of his activities, we have found that AE Castaway 29's a careful planner and is well-founded in security and tradecraft. AE Castaway 29 does not seem to require a great deal of case officer support, and he has the ability to work under his own power and initiative. He is completely cooperative, albeit has a basic loyalty to his own organization, and responds easily to Kubark supervision and control. In our discussions of various Redskin types of operations, he has shown the ability to grasp and understand operational principles and purposes with an appreciation for Kubark methods and procedures. I should note that Kubark, all capital letters, K-U-B-A-R-K, is the CIA's own cryptonym for itself. So when I say Kubark, I mean to say CIA. Reading again. In our discussions of various Redskin types of operations, he has shown an ability to grasp and understand operational principles and purposes with an appreciation for Kubark methods and procedures. We have not yet mounted an actual operation and therefore cannot judge how well we can apply theory and practice, but we expect he will be able to conduct Redskin operations in a professional manner. Now, end quote. I should note to your listening audience that this particular document was declassified and released in 2007 under the Nazi War Crimes Disclosure Act. So by direct reference, we have to assume that the DRE's handler in the ZR Penny Ratline conduit operations is in fact a Nazi war criminal. And as representation would have it, I was able to track down his actual name. The name of this officer is in fact it's referenced inside of the aerodynamic documents. His name is Antolo Kaminsky. Full name is spelled capital A-N-A-T-O-L. Last name, capital K-A-M-I-N-S-K-Y. Okay. And Antolo Kaminsky, I cross-referenced him in other CIA documents. And he is, in fact, the vice president of Stefan Bandera's anti-communist Radio Liberty, Radio Svoboda, and that's spelled S-V-O-B-O-D-A, which was the official Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe conduit for Yaroslav Stetsko's Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists. Okay? So, reading again, just to simplify what I demonstrated here, Antol Kaminsky, or A.E. Castaway 29, not only is he a paramilitary warfare ratline operative, not only is he the commander for Ukrainian spotting operations with Ukrainian Nazis in Munich in 1961, but by 1962, he is the handler of the DRE's infiltration activities into Helsinki. I'll read that again for your listening audience, Dave. The handler of the DRE's infiltration activities into Helsinki, Antolo Kaminsky, aka AE Castaway 29, is the primary Redskin paramilitary warfare officer and spotter for Ukrainian Nazis in Munich in 1961.
Fascinating.
He is the primary recruiter for Reinhard Gehlen's BND operations for support activities to the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists. And in all likelihood, he is in fact a World War II era fascist Ukrainian war criminal and an electronic warfare intelligence officer, because he's the vice president of Radio Svoboda, Svoboda, which is the Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, CIA-funded OUN propaganda apparatus. As an aside, an editorial aside, A.E. Castuary, that is actually a CIA cryptonym for the co-opting of the external representation of the Ukrainian Supreme Liberation Council. Okay, the ZPUTFA that I made reference to earlier. And that was actually overseen by a structural BND operative. So read into that, a Galen organization operative by the name of Ivan Heinrich. Okay, last name spelled H R-Y-N-O-K-H. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'll read that again. H-R-Y-N-O-K-H. Is that Heinrich?
Probably, Reinach, probably. The H is probably silent.
Oh, Reinach. Okay, so Ivan Reinach. And he
that's
has a...
that's a guess. I'm just taking a guess. Go ahead.
Right, right. So, ultimately, the A.E. Castori organization was a Galen, was overseen by a Galen organization contract operative by the name of Ivan Reinach, last name H-A-Y-N-O-K-H, who was the chaplain to the Nachtigall Battalion during the Second World War and a direct subordinate of Theodor Oberlander.
Theodor Oberlander was an SS officer in World War II. He was the political officer assigned to the Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall, which perpetrated the massacre of Jews in the Lvov/Lemberg ghetto in June of 1941.
Correct, correct. And according to documents, and I'm having trouble finding the citation for this, but I will in fact procure the citation in English for your listening audience. According to documents from the National Academy of Sciences in Ukraine, OUND leader Stefan Bandera held meetings with the heads of Germany's intelligence services regarding the formation of the Nachtigall and the Roland battalions on 25 February 1941, and Wilhelm Canaris, who was the head of the Abwehr, German intelligence, sanctioned the creation of a Ukrainian legion under German command, okay? And he ultimately subsidized 2.5 million Deutschmarks for subversive activities against the USSR. So it should be noted that this man, who in 1962 is the commander of the A.E. Castori organization, of which Antala Kaminsky, who is the handler of the DRE's ratline activities into Helsinki. It should be noted that Ivan Ratov was, in fact, a full-fledged structural agent of the Abwehr during the Second World War, okay? And in turn, as a subordinate of Theodor Oberlander, he was a subordinate of an SS Obersturmbannführer by the name of Otto Skorzeny.
A name well known to the listening audience. And Skorzeny was not only a key Gehman agent, but he was heavily involved with commando operations in the Third Reich and a major functionary of various aspects of the Nazi diaspora. Mandy, we are coming down to the last 2 minutes plus of our broadcast. Something that I think gives us some historical perspective on what we're seeing now. You know, we're being told all about Ukraine and how wonderful they are and how terrible the Russians are invading. One of the OUND successor organizations that seized power courtesy of the Maidanku is Svoboda, S-V-O-B-O-D-A, and their youth group, their militia, which gets funding from the Ukrainian government, is called C-14 or Combat 14. It's named after the 14 words, which are an international white supremacist, I don't know, not logo would be, but battle cry or slogan or rallying cry. And it was minted by David Lane, who was the getaway driver for the team of the orbit that assassinated Denver talk show host Alan Berg. So some perspective on what we're talking about here. The next time you hear Brain Dead Joe hissing his way through a press conference, there is a reason why on October 22nd, 2021, he found found in accordance with the intelligence community that disclosing documents might damage U.S. interests. And today, one of the Ukrainian organizations that has police powers in 21 different Ukrainian cities is Combat 14, the youth wing of Svoboda, and an organization named after the 14 words minted by Oh gosh, and the getaway driver, David Lane, the driver of the getaway car in the murder of Alan Berg. So that should give us some perspective. Monty, we've got a little over a minute left. Any last thoughts you have? Because we're almost out of time.
Well, ultimately, we have to appreciate that the president of the Prologue organization in this time period is a man by the name of Nikolai Lebed. And he oversaw the massacre of 90,000 Jews in Eastern Galicia and Ukraine during the Second World War. And this is, in fact, the man who is Antonin Kaminsky's boss in the Prologue organization in 1962 when he is funding the DRE's activities, a mass murdering genocidal psychopath.
Yep, indeed. And we will come back to Mr. Lebed in future programs. However, we are all out of time. This concludes For the Record program number 1336, Conversations with Monty. This is conversation number 10. This is being recorded on July 13th of the year 2024. For Monty, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.